Hi, I'm Alan Carrington from the University of Adelaide. I'm at Create World 2009 at Griffith University in Brisbane, Queensland. I've just experienced a presentation by Andrew Blackburn. It says you're of Griffith University, Andrew, but you actually live in Melbourne, is that right?
That's correct, Alan. I'm a distant student, I suppose.
Yeah, 1,000 miles is quite a distance, actually, Andrew. But you're an organist by profession, I guess, and by artist. But you talked today about the role of the computer or the role of technology in design and implementation in the world of organs, I guess. So tell me, what is technology doing to the traditional organ?
Well, it's expanding the whole role of what it does. My actual field of research and interest lies partly in the design of organs, but more importantly in the music which is being made on these instruments and the role and possibilities that are offered by computers to change that sound in a real live performance environment, so that the organ itself in a performance is mic'd up, the sound is processed and projected out into the room.
So you're saying, you're saying that the computer modifies the sound before it reaches the ear of the listener?
Absolutely, and it creates new sounds in real time. So it's the organist can choose a range of sound from the organ itself, and that's done on a sort of additive synthesis principle, which is the way that what's called organ registration, choosing the sounds, is done. Now, taking that and extending it a whole lot is something that we can do with computers, and that really changes what's happening in the space itself. It's very hard to get that effect in a recording, but in a live environment, it's very obvious what's happening.
An instrument that with such a rich history, surely you've got a lot of purists that really give you a hard time over that, wouldn't you?
One of the performances I showed you today, the one for 8 panels, actually did generate some interesting emails, but I think that's fantastic because even if people hate it, it means they're being forced to think about it. And because they're being forced to think about it, it is challenging them, and I'm perfectly happy with that.
And are you seeing a change in organ design?
Yeah, now that's something that's very interesting. Just very recently, there's an organ being built in Piteå, which is in the north of Sweden. And it's at a music school there, or music media school. There's a wonderful concert hall, and they're building this very, very large new instrument. It's a conventional organ. It's, in the way that I was showing you in the paper. But the more important part of that is that it's got a new section in it called an overtone section. And as I mentioned a moment ago, the basic principle of organ registration, choosing the sound, is a form of acoustic additive synthesis. Now, normally you work up to perhaps the sixth or seventh harmonic in this overtone series, and that's what the organ normally will have in it. This one goes way higher. And as I understand from the design of it, it will also have sections that are tuned. So because it gets into so many different areas.
I imagine.
But this overtone section will allow really upper harmonics to be added or subtracted effectively. So you have far greater control and a whole new range of sounds.
What does that do in the area of listening? I mean, what does the listener do? Put one of these things in a 300-year-old church. What happens?
Oh, I think it's going to be very interesting. But the point of that is that certainly with this new organ, it will play all the old repertoire.
Right.
But more importantly, it opens up potential for people to conceive new music because it will have a whole new range of sounds. Now, in the organ and electronics world, that's happening already. And as people, become familiar with the new sounds and possibilities that are created by the digital signal processing softwares, they can conceive of new things there. But when you come to an acoustic organ, I have no idea. I have no idea what it's going to sound like. I can sort of vaguely imagine. But, when you have something that's sounding a 40-second above the original notes, which is, what's that, about almost 7 octaves high, a very long way.
And it's not just experimental, is it? I mean, it's a huge step forward, isn't it, for the technology, or for the organ world?
Absolutely. And I think it's reinvigorating the whole repertoire of the instrument and the whole musical environment for it. And what's wonderful is that we have had recently, you know, we're talking the last 15 years, I guess, at the outside, of new sounds being introduced into the organ through electronic processing. But now there's the reverse occurring, so that this new pipe organ is going to imitate the sound that computers have been adding to the organ, but it'll imitate it acoustically.
What do you see the future of this type of technology, or this type of integration of technology with, I don't know what you call it, traditional organ development? Is it the future?
I think it's got an enormous future, and I think it's just a way, it's a new form of energizing the whole realm. I mean, organs, in a lot of ways, are fairly moribund in many places, but I think that this opens up possibilities, and certainly people who've never been interested in it before are showing a lot of interest.
I've been talking with Andrew Blackburn from Griffith University about the future of the mighty organ. That's a genuine comment. I just love them. And thank you for your time, Andrew.
It's been my great pleasure. Thanks, Alan.